As we approach God's word, let's pray together. Just a short Anglican prayer. Make the book live to me, O Lord. Show me yourself and show me my Savior. And make the book live to me. Amen. In 1984, Terry Britton and Graham Lyle wrote a song later released by Tina Turner, which goes like this. What's love got to do with it? What's love but a second-hand emotion? Who needs a heart when a heart can be broken? It's obvious the one who wrote those words had been through a painful breakup experience. 19 years earlier, in 65, another single was released. Jackie DeShannon sang the beautiful words, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone." Was there ever a more apt time to consider this thing called love? After all, it's the strongest emotion of all. Spontaneous romance keeps a marriage fresh and the relationship alive, doesn't it? Karen and I love taking a walk around Portrush. And the other day we were walking around and we're coming up past the wine bar and the smell of tobacco onions was leaching out. And she looked at me with eyes sitting out like organ stops and said, "Did you smell that?" I said, "Yeah. It was lovely, wasn't it?" And I thought, "Oh, what the heck, I'll treat her." So I took her around and let her walk past it again. What's love got to do with it? Eh? Are you looking for the greatest experience of joy, love, peace, contentment in your life? If you are, can I tell you this? That's only possible if you have a true adoration of the living God. In 1 John chapter 4, we read three words. God is love. It's his character. It's everything about him. His nature. Listen to the beautiful words he gave us through the Apostle Paul. Words that I know all, if not, or most, if not all of you will know from any marriage service you ever attended. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Then verse 13, and now these three remain, faith, hope and love. But the greatest of these is love. When we emit that level of love and commitment in our relationships, in our marriages, our relationships with anybody, we are being truly Christ-like. With that level of love in my heart, I can be some of those things. More patient, kind, unselfish, honest, truthful and hopeful. And while at the same time, with that amount of love in my heart, I'm protected from the negatives. what Paul talks about. The negative evils like boasting, being proud, gossiping, slander, selfish, having a short fuse and always wanting to rake up some hurt from the past. So then, what's love got to do with it? Everything. Everything. One of the most deadly relationships in a deadly things in a relationship is fake love. And we must be careful to steer clear of it. Again, from the scriptures, we read from Romans 12. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Jesus said, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That's love on a different scale, isn't it? But we can all do our bit. As you begin your day with love, a spirit of gratitude will naturally follow. The Bible tells us in Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances. And that comes from love. Make thanking the folks you deal with every day a top priority. A simple smile, a thank you or a kind word could be exactly what that work colleague needs. That checkout cashier longs for. What's to gain? A connection. The feeling of being appreciated. What's the cost? A little time. A little effort. But the rewards? Well, they are. You'll never begin to imagine. So in a nutshell, folks, love extravagantly. Appreciate everyone and everything the Lord's blessed you with. Do you want a model to live by? Try this exercise. I've typed out the words, verses 48 of that passage we looked at. But I've removed the word love. And I want you to put your name where the blanks are. I'm going to leave this slide in the screen for a few seconds. Put your name in the blanks. Quite a calling, really, isn't it? You've been studying Luke's gospel, Gordy was telling me, and I'd like to show you an example of what true love looks like by taking you back to the party Mary read from us in chapter 7. There's a crowd of people at this gathering, all personally invited except one. The host is Simon, and Jesus is the guest of honor. Simon and the woman could not have been more different. They're polar opposites. He's looked up to, she's looked down on. He's hosting, she's gate crashing. He's furious this woman's got into his party. Can you see him at the top table, glaring at the security guard, motioning to him to have her removed immediately? We know from John's account in chapter 12 of his gospel that this woman is Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't even give her a name. Luke, however, does give her a title, a sinful woman. She had no water, but she used her tears. She had no towel, but she used her hair. As she reaches down to kiss the dirty, sweaty, dusty feet of our Savior, tears leak from her red, raw eyes, and extravagant love oozes from her heart. Can you imagine a similar thing happening today at, say, one of our church AGMs? A woman in a tight, probably very short dress, with mascara streaks in her face, sneaking in during the speeches, tiptoeing in her stilettos up to a church leader, giving him a hug and asking him to pray for forgiveness for her. Of course, heads would turn. The gasp would be deafening. We too would be outraged. But this woman, well, she doesn't care. She's already got such low self-esteem that she can't possibly think any worse about herself. Her love is extravagant. She simply cannot resist Jesus. She had spent many times, many nights making love but never finding it. She takes this small bottle of perfume, her only earthly possession of any value, and breaks it. All four Gospels record this event. And while they vary slightly, they all mention this small detail. Why? The jar was not opened carefully. It was broken. Alabaster jars were not reusable vessels. They usually contained perfume, very expensive perfume, which was saved for a significant event, maybe a marriage, maybe the birth of a child, and sometimes even for burial. Once the jar was broken, it couldn't be used again, and the contents spilled out. This made it impossible to take some out and save some for another time. This offering was irreversible. And that's where the meaning of this act begins to get interesting. As she begins to massage it into Jesus' skin, the aroma fills the room. It's only then that the other guests realize the sheer depth of her love. Something they in their self-righteous state are completely oblivious to. You see, sometime later, the body of Jesus, like the alabaster jar, would be broken. Not partially, not holding anything back, but completely and deliberately broken, without reserve. And his body, like the expensive perfume, would be spilled out for the sins of the world. You know the familiar words from 1 Peter 1:19. It was not by silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Just the fragrance could not fill the room without the jar being broken, so salvation for each one of us would not be granted without the broken body of Jesus Christ. While others argued about the cost and the state of this sinful woman's life, she shows irreversible devotion. And get this, folks, Jesus accepted it. Tell me, when you consider the love that came down in the person of Jesus Christ all those years ago, when you consider the love that he took, skewered to that cross, to die for you, are you filled with unbelievable gratitude? Have you received that amazing love deep into your heart? Could it be that we need to receive this extravagant love in the person of Jesus Christ like this sinful woman before we can really show it to other people? Max Lucado writes, 2,000 years ago, Jesus looked down on all humanity and said, "Punish me for their mistakes. You see that murderer? Give me his penalty. That adulteress, I'll take her shame. That bigot, that liar, that thief, do to me what should be done to them." And God did exactly that. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous." Why? To bring you to God. When you take the time to consider God giving up his son, his only son, and then the fact that Jesus actually came, maybe you can begin to understand the sheer depth of the love and the lengths he went to get his family back together again. Folks, that's love. That's extravagant love. That's outrageous love. That's a love that's pure, unconditional, and endless. And when he says to each one of us, go and do likewise, is it not the least we can do? Jesus said, love one another. Do you know, if he'd have stopped there, we might have been able to manage that. But he doesn't. He says, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. What's love got to do with it? Everything. Let's pray together. If you feel the Lord has spoken to you, you might want to echo this prayer in your heart. Living and eternal God, I thank you for your outrageous love for me. You know the worst about me, and yet you still love me extravagantly. Please forgive my sins and accept me into your royal family today. May you always come first in my life from this moment on. And as I radiate your love among my family, my friends, and in my community, Lord, would you use me? May I be the aroma of Christ from this moment. Remind me daily of the wonder and the depth of your love. And yes, Lord, use even me. In Jesus' name, amen.